Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, the pastor sent me a text and said, Kermit, you're going to what? You are going to help share the word this Sunday. But wait for confirmation. I knew, okay, in my spirit, I knew I had already received the confirmation. Amen. We can be seated. So this morning, Pastor has asked that we talk about, we just have a recap of what we've been receiving for the past 8 weeks on divine guidance and direction. Amen. Has it been wonderful? Has it been wonderful? Have you been blessed with what you've been receiving so far? We thank you, Pastor. We thank the grace of God over your life. You will not understand until you are told what that word has meant to my life. You will not understand until you are told. And I am sure you have also been blessed. I am sure if you were given the opportunity to come and tell us what God has been doing in your life since we started the teaching of divine guidance and direction, I'm sure you will come and tell us. This morning we'll just have a recap. I'm not going to preach. So if you don't see me walk around, don't say, what's he doing? I am here under the banner of the Spirit of God. Where he leadeth, I will go. If he shows the light that jump, I will jump. Don't look embarrassed because I am under the anointing. Remember Pharaoh's daughter. For those of you who know what happened to her, when David was dancing in the presence of God, she mocked him. So when somebody is under the anointing or under the power of God, don't despise them. Amen. Everything hinges on the Lord is my light. Our base text will be from Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27. I'm sure this verse has been reverberating in your spirits because the pastor always talked about it. Because the whole inspiration of the message came from Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27 starts. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So whenever there is fear in your heart, just know the light of God is not present. Whenever there is fear in your heart, just know the light of God is not present. Because a lot of divine direction and guidance has to do with fear. Whenever you want to do anything in your life and there is fear in your heart, just know you need the light of God. Amen. Whatever you want to do in your life, whenever there is fear, just know you need the light of God in your life. Because light is what helps you to get to where you are going, even when you don't know how. Amen? To get to where you are going, even when you don't know how, is the light of God. When you get up in the morning, it's the light of God that directs your path. It is the light of God you seek in the morning. As believers, it is the light of God we have to seek in the morning. It is not your phone and to see the latest news of the day. Because when you open your phone in the morning to see the latest news of the day, what you get is bad news. And that when bad news comes, it brings anxiety. And with anxiety, you cannot make the right choices. You cannot make the right decision. Because she started on the wrong footing. And so Pastor told us that divine guidance and direction is timely. It has to do with timing. Hallelujah. It has to do with timing. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 17, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near." Why? "For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt." God was directing their path, the children of Israel. God had planned from the beginning their path, that this is what is going to happen. We are going to go to the promised land. We are not going to go through the path of least resistance. They are the shortest path. Amen. Many of us today, we like the shortest path. Everybody wants to be wealthy. Everybody wants to. Many people just want good stuff, right? But God knew that some of these things, when they come our way, they instead distract us. They instead make us remember our past. There are certain blessings that when they come to our lives, we call them blessings. There are certain things that when they come to our life, they move us away from God. They move us away from God. And so God told the children of Israel, "I'm not going to take you through the path of the 2 weeks journey. Because through that path, we have a lot of bumps on the way. And I know your heart. I know that if you go through these bumps, you remember your life in Egypt. Say, why am I going through this distress? Why am I going through this stress?" And God decided to take them through the wilderness. Because through the wilderness, God taught them a lot. God taught them patience. Those virtues, those things that make you want to know God more, makes you want to desire God, makes you want to depend on God. Because through the 40 years that they had in the wilderness, God built this patience. God built them to war. If you read the life of the children of Israel in the wilderness, you realize that each step along the way, it was a teaching moment. Each step along the way, they needed food. God provided manna. Dependence on God. They had their enemies. God gave them victory. Dependent on God. And so when God calls us, God has a divine timing for us. In everything we do, there is a divine timing. So that's why if you want to do something in your life, seek after divine timing and direction. Amen. So we should seek God's timing and follow His light. We should be patient and not be in a hurry. Timing is a very powerful aspect of divine direction. We have to be most careful about it, about impatience. Many people want it now. Sometimes missing the time can destroy the whole plan. Amen. Missing the time can destroy the whole plan. Our lives each day is about timing. It's about decisions. We decide to get up from our bed. We decide what we are going to eat. Amen. That's it. We decide what we are going to eat. We decide whether we are going to drink a liter of water. We decide whether we are going to go out to go and play or to go out to go and walk. We do all these decisions in life. And so the life of a believer is a life, it's a bundle of decisions. And so we want to make sure that these decisions that we are taking, it's backed by the light of God. It's backed by the light of God. We have the privilege that we have a God who is the light. We have the God who is the light and who is our salvation. Whom shall we fear? The Bible says, "When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." Amen? They stumbled and fell. Why? Because the Lord was my light. Some of us face a lot of torments, a lot of fight, strife, with people, with our neighbors, with our colleagues, with our friends, family. Because the Lord is not a light. Amen. When the Lord is a light, when people come, they will stumble before they even come to you. Amen. You can be going through this door and the Lord knows that, okay, there is an enemy coming to block your way. Because the Lord does not want you to even see that enemy. By the time you get there, that enemy stumbles. And you go, you don't even know what happened. You just know that the way is smooth. But in the spiritual, you have angels smiling and saying, you don't know what I have done. Angels are rejoicing that this is God's apple. So when enemies come, the angels just block. It's like playing American football, where you are the running back. Amen. You know, in American football now, there's what they call the blind spot. In such a way, when you are running, and somebody comes and blocks you, without you seeing the person, they say that's harmful to the person, because the person is not prepared. You just surprise the person and hit the person. They say those kind of hits, that the ones that cause the, how they call it, the concoction, right? That is what God does to the devil. When we are running, we don't know, in a blind spot, as the devil is trying to make us stumble, God just removes them. And we are running with that ball. We have a goal to go with that ball and score. And so everybody who comes, the Lord just blocks them without us even recognizing or realizing it. In the world, they will give you a penalty. But in the spiritual, there is no penalty. The penalty is get out of the way. Because God's child is on the move. Amen. Amen. The word of God is never limited. The seedbed for the word of God is the heart of man. Praise the Lord. You see, when our sister was sharing, I was like, thank you, Lord. Seed has come up again. God is emphasizing that it is our heart. The conditions of our heart is what God is interested in. You know, today we can share this word. Like I've said, the pastor started sharing July 12th. July 12th. For 8 weeks, the pastor has shared about divine guidance and direction. We can ask ourselves, but why would the pastor concentrate on divine guidance and direction for 8 weeks? In this time, when the world seems to be in some darkness, when you meet people and you ask them, how is your life? And they say, well, it's not easy. But the pastor has been sharing that about divine guidance and divine direction. Because we need it in this time. We need it. I have seen it in my life. I have seen how God has put bombs in my life during this time, reminding me to come back to the basic, telling me, it's my light you need. It's not your imagination. It's my light. So I will implore us to go back to this word. It's there. If you have your iPod, it's there in the podcast. Listen to it. You go to Google, they are there. But this morning, we'll just have a recap, just to encourage us, to reaffirm what God has been telling us. And so the Bible tells us in Isaiah 61 that we should arise and shine, for the light of God is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, in verse 3 says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Amen. There is gross darkness in the world. Right now, the darkness is, it's overwhelming. I was talking to somebody. I said, how are you? He said, man, I have even stopped listening to the news. I say, don't listen to the news. I say, don't listen to the news, because whatever you listen, whenever you listen to the news, you ask yourself, why did I even listen to the news? It's just gloom. It's just doom. It's darkness. You don't blame the world. It's what is there. But as children of God, we have the light that has arisen over us. So I encourage him. I say, don't listen to the news. Thank God he's also a believer. I say, don't. Because when you listen to the news, you will not move ahead. It's darkness. In this time when the world is so asking themselves, this 2020, as Pastor said, some people have already deleted 2020. So when they are calculating their age, 2020 should not be there. So for some of you who have celebrated, I'm 40 years. For some people, they are not yet 40. Their 40 years is next year. They said this one is on hold. It's not a year that I can celebrate. It cannot be part of my life. I cannot look back 20. No. We cannot say that. We cannot say that, because we have the glory of the Lord, the light of God that is on us. While people are out there panicking, the light of God is showing the way. That is why we have to depend, and as we go, you see how you can get the light of God through the word, through reading the word, through meditating. You have any situation you are going through and you don't know what to do, you say, oh God, what is happening? Go to the word. God can speak even through Leviticus, where they give you the genealogies, and God will come through one genealogy and tell you that this is what I am talking about. Amen. It is the word of God. The word of God, it does not lie, right? The Bible says it penetrates through bone and marrow. It knows how to divide things. It knows how to bring things into perspective. So you see clearly. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there are examples in the Bible where you see how people trusted the word of God, and through their trust in the word of God, they did exploits. They did exploits. The pastor said, divine appointments happen in split moments. Just by being someplace because you should be there can cause things to come together for you that it could take a whole lifetime for you to accomplish. And people begin to wonder, why this man, what's wrong with him? I envy him. Just like that, he just started this job. You know, all of a sudden, people are talking about him positively. And in boardrooms, people are saying that, do you see this man? I hear he's a wonderful person. I hear he's doing so. He knows his job. He knows his stuff. And so when they are talking about even promotion, your name comes there without even having a godfather. Your godfather is God. Amen? You begin to wonder, what is happening? Pastor said, it's because your timing. You are in the right place at the right time. And because you are in the right place at the right time, that grace of God, that word of God to uplift you, to bring you up, it operates spiritually, automatically. Now, there are certain things that God promises that God, you don't require God's permission to operate. If God says, you make me your light, and then success comes. It's a spiritual law. The moment you make God your light, everything in your life falls in place. Those things don't have to ask for permission. Should I make him a manager? God? Why are you asking me? He has made me his light. And so you just have to give him the manager position. You just have to bless his business, because he has made me the light. His timing is there. He's at the right time.
But if you miss, as the pastor said, if you miss that timing, you can take a lifetime to build it back. You can take a lifetime to build it back. The pastor gave us examples of how he, 20 years ago, he was in one of those crossroads. And he had read the word, he had prayed, and there was still, that peace was not there. And just by attending a service, God's light came. It is the light we should seek. It is God's light in everything we do. It is God's light we should seek. So while I was preparing for this message, I normally take notes when I come to church. I normally come with my book and my pen and my Bible. I take my notes. And you know, sometimes when you come to the service and the notes, you take your notes, you go back, you go through the service, or you go and listen to it, you ask yourself, did the pastor say this? I didn't catch that. Amen. So to me, I knew that I had at least gone through the notes. I had, you know, written them down. I have them here. I said, okay, let me just go again and let me listen to these notes to the podcast. And I put the one that was on the third week. And I was listening, and I was driving, I was listening. And the lights just shone on one. I said, but I have not heard this before. I said, what's going on here? I said, I just started speaking in tongues. And I was speaking in tongues without knowing my foot was on the pedal. I was speeding. I said, oh Lord, what is happening here? I said, no, let me remove my foot on the pedal before something happens. And if I had somebody in the car, somebody should have said, hey, what's happening? Relax. The person would not have known that I was receiving something from the Spirit. God was trying to tell me something. That, look, there is something that I want you to tell my people. See, if you ever miss God, you have to go back. Amen? If you ever miss the light, you have to go back. And the pastor gave examples of Isaiah. You know, when Isaiah was seeking God and there was this breeze that came, Isaiah said, oh yes, God is certainly in the breeze. And God said, no, I'm not in that breeze. And then there was fire that came, say, I'm not in that. And when that God's still small voice came and told Isaiah and spoke to Isaiah, then and Elijah was like, yeah, this is God. But pastor said, but when you are away from the light, don't come and say, oh, well, how will people feel now? How will people look at me? So all this while I have been out of God's will and I don't know what's happening. Should I go back? But the pastor said, if you ever miss God, you have to go back. Because you want to stay within the circumference of the light of God. Amen? So when God was leading the children of Israel out of in the wilderness, the Bible says in the night it was like fire, right? That fire produces light. So you have to be within that circumference. If you moved away from the circumference, you are going to be lost in the wilderness. And it might take you longer to find your way. But as the pastor said, by the time you find your way, you will come out with what? Bruises. You know? The world, the scars of the world. You have to stay within the circumference of God's light as children of God. So if you go at some point in time, you realize that God is not in this breeze. He's not in this fire. Don't feel bad. Feel bad is good, but your feeling bad should bring you back to God, not away from God. Amen? Feel bad and come back to God. And God will readjust and realign you with His will. Amen? God will realign you with His will. And I was like, oh God. I don't know why pastor likes to talk. It's like he's talking only to me. I said, oh, this message. I'll give you this is a true story. I know of a friend.
as the Bible says, I know of somebody who was caught up in the third heavens. I will not tell you who that person is. But I know of a friend who came up with a business agenda and wanted to do business. And he was so excited. This friend said, okay, I have this business I want to do. I want to send stuffs back home in one continent. Let me not call the continent so you can, I don't want you to give you a gist, an idea. But this friend was, because the friend saw another person who was sending things back home, he too said he will also send things back home. The friend carved out a path and said, this is what I have carved out, this is what I will do. I am telling you, that friend started laboring to gather things to send back. This is my new business venture. Praise the Lord. This is what I'm going to do. And so this friend started doing this. At some point, the friend said, okay, let me do some research, more research. The friend first called back home and said, this is what I want to do. What do you think? The person said, oh, yes, it's good. Just send the things. There's open business for this thing. So he said, okay, if you said that's it, go. But you know what the Bible says? He said, in the testimony of two, a witness of two, a matter is established, right? And this friend took only one person's idea, one person's witness, and was already building mansions from one person's witness. So, at some point, the way God works his things, divine direction and guidance, it's so important. It is so important. I am humbled this morning to stand before you and tell you that divine direction and guidance, it's so important. So important. And so this friend said, okay, let me look for another witness to confirm whether I should do this business. Mind you, this friend had already spent money to buy things to send back. The friend even had reached out to another country, and they already gave him a quote, said, this is how much it will cost for the things you are looking for. Just tell us, we are sending it to you, like, and it's not chicken money. It's a lot of money. So he came now and he met another witness. The witness said, I don't know why you want to go that route. And the friend was like, look, I have made my decision, it's final. That's what I'm doing. The man said, well, I just wanted to let you know that route, as I am here, that route might not be the best. This is, if you go this way, I think this will be the better one. So when he spoke at it, when the friend was like, oh my goodness, what am I doing right now? Amen. And the friend came and sat, and he was like, okay, what am I going to do with? The second witness is contradicting the first witness. You know, what are you doing? You know, God has his way of preventing us from destruction, from pain, from ache, you know. And the funny thing is, this friend had already pitched his idea to other people, and somebody had already invested. Amen. Now, at this point, what do you tell the person you had pitched? Amen. What do you tell the person you had pitched that, look, that business venture is, I don't think it's going to work. I think I was in error. Amen. I said amen. What do you say? But because God has said divine direction and guidance, seek after it. Save yourself pain. Save yourself ache. Right? Save yourself this worriness. Save yourself these things. And you see the blessings of having the light of God. You know? And so that my friend is praying. I'll not tell you who that my friend is. But there are people here who know. Amen. Praying for divine guidance and direction. Very important. You don't know what God has spared. What God has spared to that, my friend. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the pastor said, everything God speaks is when the iron is hot. It's when the iron is hot, God comes and says, look, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the pastor talked about getting divine guidance. And the first thing the pastor talked about is, you know, there are sometimes when we want to come before God, we already have a plan, right? We already have it. It's already there. We are master architects. Amen? We are master architects. We come to God with a design that is already well laid out. You know, we have built this mansion and we come to God and we tell God, God, just put your stamp of approval. Your signature, you know, if you have an accounting firm or an architectural firm in Cameroon, what happens is there are some architects who already have a name. And so some of them just sit, and then junior architects who don't even work with them, you know, they will go and do this design and but the law says, you as a junior architect, you cannot append your signature on a design. It's not valid until what? A professional architect does it. So these junior architects will go and will put this wonderful design, and they'll just come to the senior, architect and say, please, can you append your signature here? And the guy will look at it and say, okay, let me see if it will not go and bring my name down. Say, because I don't want to put my signature into something which tomorrow they say, but what kind of design is this? And the first thing they'll look at is, who approved this design? So they'll be looking for the person who approved that. That's how many of us treat God. We come with our own pre-plans. We come and we say, God, this is it. That job I saw on Indeed, that is the job I want. That job, God, annually is 120 to 140,000. I cannot miss this. This is the blessing that God has for me. God, you said it that you will bless us. This is it. This is what I want, God. And you can be passing through a school and you look at the school. The compound is so nice. Oh, man, you picture your kids playing in the playground, you know. You go online and you research. Oh, the teachers, the grade is A. You know, and this is just wonderful. If you go to this school and you come out from this school, the chances for you having a job is very high. It's very high. And so we come with these pre-plans and we tell God, God, just a pen. You know, sometimes we come and by the time we even want to finish, before God wants to say, but are you sure this is what I want? You are saying, okay, God, let me go with this. I'll start the plan, you know. And you go and you start it. God has not even said anything and you are beating your head. You finish building the house. It's a wonderful house. You sit in that house one day and there is no peace in your heart. Because God is not in that plan. And then you ask yourself, but I prayed to God. I brought it before God. But there's one thing you missed. When you brought it before God, you did not allow God's voice, His still voice, you did not allow it. And so when you come back to God and say, okay, I knew you would come back. Yeah, I knew you would come back. But you have wasted valuable time. You have wasted valuable time, not only to yourself, but also to maybe your friends, your family, your neighbors. Because you went out of the circumference of God's light. You see? Many of us do that. You know? Like yesterday, I was telling somebody. The person said, oh, my kids are going back to school. And, you know, Our son, Ethan, he's supposed to start school on Thursday. He's so excited about it. And I was like, I don't think kindergarten is something you can be doing virtually. It's not really, it just beats the purpose, because kindergarten is going to see your friends and play and play and play, and then they give you phonetics. You come back, you play, you sleep, you get up, I want to go to school. There's nothing. And I was like, I felt sorry for him. And so I feel sorry for him. In my heart, I was like, I'm going to look for a private school where we can send this guy so he can go and have, you know, this interaction with others. And then this morning, I was like, look at you, talking about divine guidance and direction. Did you pray? Passing your mouth here and there. Did you really pray that this is what God wants for our kids? Amen? Did you pray? So we should not come before God with already pre-approved, you know, plans. You know, we should not do that. The moment we do that, we beat the pop. We miss it. Amen. Amen. And the other one is pressure. You know, Balaam, the story of Balaam in Numbers 22. I read through the story again, and I was like, oh boy. Balaam was under pressure that you cannot imagine. This is somebody who went to God, and God told him that, look, these people are blessed. They cannot be cursed. Because anybody God has blessed, don't mess with the person. Don't do it. And Balaam knew it. God had told him, don't go with them. And he did what God said he should do. He came, and when the people came, the people Balak sent, they came, or Balak, they came and they said, oh, Balak wants you. We need you. You are the oracle. What you say comes to pass. Your words are powerful. We want you to do something for the Israelites. We hear those people are terrifying. Everybody along their way, they just sweep. So please, Balak was the king of Moab. So he sent his people. The first one, Balaam came out and said, nah, God has said, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. So just go back, tell your king, it's not going to happen. Which was the right thing to do, right? But pressure kicked in. Balak said, no, I'm sending this time around the princes, the best, the Bible says the best princes, you know. And if you read that story towards the end, the princes were not only sent there, they were also part of the reward. The king had promised them that if you go and you convince this man, you are also going to have this reward. So they went there with an intent to bring Balaam with them. And so when they went, Balaam still went back, and God was telling him, okay, if you insist. And Balaam went with them, but told them that, look, tell your king, I am only going to say what God has asked me to say. And that's what he did. Even along the way, with all the pressure that he was under, even along the way, even when God was telling him that, don't go, don't go, there was an angel who was there wielding the sword. He could not, because he was determined and focused with what the king would be saying. He could not see even the angel. A donkey saw the angel. A donkey saw the angel before Balaam. And that donkey said, I cannot risk my life because of you, master. I cannot. The Bible says three times he forced the donkey to go. The donkey said no, until finally God gave speech to a donkey. Say, master, all this while that I've been with you, have I ever refused to go where you want me to go? Why is it that this time you see me resisting? You cannot even think that something is wrong. You know, in life, that's what happens. There are certain things that you want to do, and there's a block. You say, okay, no, let me go this other way. You are trying to force your way through the blocks that God has put in front of you. You are trying to do that. You know what Balak told Balaam? When Balaam saw the children of Israel, He said, curse them. Now the man looked at Balaam. I mean, and the children of Israel, he started blessing them. He started blessing. Then Balak said, oh, I think you don't understand. Maybe the way, this direction that we are, you don't see well. The Bible says he took him to another angle and said, look from this side. He looked, still the same thing. He blessed. He took him to another angle. Say, look from this side. He looked, blessing. He could only bless because that was what God had told him to do. But you know the funny thing? Because he was under pressure. If you look at Revelations 2:14, in Revelations 2:14, it is there. I don't know if we can put it up. If you look at Revelations 2:14, as Pastor was saying, Balaam knew that he could not do anything to the children of Israel. But because he was under pressure, he compromised. He told Balak how you can slow the children of Israel. You cannot win them, but you can slow them from getting to their promised land, from getting to their blessing. How can you slow them? The Bible says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Sin. Balaam said, these people are blessed, but there's something which if you put in their midst, it's going to limit them. It's going to push, retard them. And that's sin. And if you read that story, all of a sudden, the story of Balaam just disappears from the picture. And if you see Numbers, I think Numbers 24 or so, it just starts telling you about how the children of Israel became involved with the daughters of Moab. And so the daughters of Moab taught them how to worship their idols. Until one even brought one of the daughters of Moab in their tents, which was like a sacrilege. And the Bible says there is one man who said, this sin cannot happen amongst us, because there was a plague amongst the children of Israel. And Phinehas, I think was his name, he said, no, this thing has to be dealt with. And he himself went and killed the man who was a prince in his own family and the lady. And God said, because of the zeal that Phinehas had for me, I will remove my anger. Sin. Balaam exposed the children of Israel because he was under pressure. Praise the Lord. So, pressure. The first one was we come with preconceived ideas before God to seek, when we want to seek for his guidance. We want God to appease his stamp on us. The second one is pressure. Pressure can be timing, pressure can be money. In the case of Balaam, as the pastor said, it was money because they had promised him a lot of things. What they promised him was he could not resist. So those two things, we should be very careful. We should be very careful. Because they have consequences. There are consequences of not having divine guidance. As the pastor said, there were seven of them. You remember them. All of them starts with S. There is strife, there is stress, there is struggle, stray, stagnate, stranded, and they're strangled. That last one, strangled. Life is taken out of you. It's taken out of you. These are the consequences of not having divine. So whenever you have in your life, whenever you experience strife in anything you are doing, sit back and say, God, there's something wrong. Your light is not in this thing. Amen. It could be the smallest things that you think they don't have consequences, but before God, it matters. It could be decisions that you have to make and you think it doesn't matter, but before God, it matters. The moment you start seeing strife, or the moment you are stressed up, you cannot sleep. You get up in the morning and the first thing that comes into your mind is this thing. Not that thing, God's hand is not on it. You need the light of God. And the Bible, and the pastor said, do not ignore the agitation. P peacelessness, pain, discomfort, and other unfavorable feelings that you encounter when you start heading in any direction in life. Don't ignore them. Don't say it's part of life. It's not part of life. Don't say that. Ask yourself, where did I go wrong? Is God in this thing? Because God is there to guide us. God is there to advise us. God is there to watch over us. And so if God is watching over us, you know, I think Pastor said, divine guidance guarantees all the blessings that comes with salvation. Amen? Think about this. Divine guidance guarantees all the blessings. So in your life, if you realize that you have not attained a level of blessing that you think the Bible has promised, ask yourself, am I in God's divine guidance? Because if you are in God's divine guidance, it says it guarantees. Amen? It guarantees. So whenever you find your life going through struggle, so you are astray, you find yourself in the midst of nowhere, like the story the pastor told us, you know, where he was in the midst of nowhere and the phone could not work and, you know, he was under stress. He had strayed and then he said, oh, there's something. The Holy Spirit told him, yes, there is something wrong. Divine guidance. In our lives, we have such things, so many of them. I was telling my wife yesterday, I said, look, we have to pray for the next chapter of our life. You know, many people are, you know, we have the privilege that we have a God we can go to and ask him, okay, God, what next? Many people don't have it. You know, and you might be in the house today and in your living room or wherever you are watching us this morning. If you have stress in your life, if you have strife in your life, in anything you are doing, it's time to sit back and ask God, okay, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? I was talking with a friend about a month or two ago. I just called her to say hi. And we were talking. I said, look, there are certain things that happen in the world that it happens because believers have given given the devil that power to do it. You know, as believers, we are called to stand in the gap, right? So if in your society, there are certain things that happen, the first thing is not to look at the community and say, these people are sinners, you know. It's the consequences of their sin, you know. You know, something can be happening in the world now, and as believers, we say, yep, it's the consequences of the sin of the world. Everybody does not have, nobody has time for God, you know. But you remember what the Bible says, that for the sake of the believers, what happened? Those days shall be shortened. For the sake of the, why? Because the believers have power to control the things that happen in the world. Amen? So we should not just be crying like the world is crying. We should instead know that we have the power for the solution. We have the power to soon kneel down as a church and say, God, we want your light to shine in this world right now at all levels. This COVID-19 is the order of the day. Everybody is COVID-19. You talk, you meet your friend, your family members, COVID-19, self-distancing. You cannot greet, you cannot embrace. You have masks. Sometimes you even look at somebody, the person does not recognize you. It's not like I saw somebody the other day in Walmart. I was like, is this not, I know this man. And then I say, he said, oh, I said, oh, it's you. I said, I recognize your head. I told him, I said, oh God, why did I tell this man this thing? I said, I recognize your bald hair. That's what it has become, that COVID-19 has made us to recognize people by their bald heads. Believers, we should stand in the gap and we say, God, this is not supposed to be like this. We cannot be in the world and the world suffers
and we are part of the suffering, then there's something wrong. We should take our place, you know. We should pray, as the pastor said, we pray for the scientists. Give them light on the solution. If they're looking for vaccines, it should be a vaccine that will heal, that will prevent. You know, there's so much fear that even now, the CDC is afraid that even when the vaccine comes out, people will not take it. They said they were asking people, and they said 1 in 4 said they will accept vaccines. That's 25%. That's a very low number. Very low. So it means it beats even the purpose of having a vaccine. Because people are saying that, oh, you guys should go and test it first. You are going to be our guinea pigs. We'll see how it reacts. You see, all this insecurity. Now, as believers, we have to pray. You know, if it's vaccines, the right vaccines, you know, because we are there to give hope in the world. We are there to give hope in the world. We are there so that when people look at us, they say, okay, like somebody, I saw somebody sometime, somebody sent me a link. It was this man of God who was saying that, look, COVID-19 is for the believers. God is using it for believers to be the light. That at some point in time, people will flock to churches because they realize that they need solutions. And only the church can give that solution. But if as a church or as people of our believers, we complain in the morning, we are like, okay, how many cases in Cuyahoga? It's 1,300 today. Oh boy, that's bad. So we are in red. When are we going to orange? Morning is 1,500. We're not going to that orange. Then we begin to worry like the world worries. Because we are not sick. We have not taken our place. You know? We have not taken our place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We should arise for the light of God to shine on us. And we become a harbinger of hope. When you are talking with your neighbor, you are talking hope. When the neighbor is telling you that, oh, I think they were supposed to do it this way, you tell the neighbor, it's okay. God's plan is the best. I will not concentrate on what they had to do better or what they did not do. What I know is I will pray to God for this thing to end. And it will end. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the pastor said, praise and worship render their heart clear enough to receive from God. So we might ask ourselves, when we come to God, how do we get this guidance from God? The pastor said, praise and worship. When we praise and we worship, we render their heart clear. You get up in the morning, you praise and worship. The pastor said, you put your children and you read the word of God. Your children might not understand what is going on. But God, through his word, will shine his light for you. Everything you want to do, don't be frustrated. Just go and feed yourself with God's word. Praise God. Praise him. Prepare your heart for God's light to shine. So first, come with worship and thanksgiving first. When you come into the presence of the Lord, you know, we should learn how to seek his face before seeking what is in his hands. Amen? Amen? Learn how to seek his face before seeking what is in his hands. I mean, today there are people, there are men of God who come to the church and they tell you that sow a seed. Right? This is what will happen to you. Until you sow a seed. You are pushing the church to seek what is in God's hands. That is what is in God. That's what God can give you. You know? But pastor said, you should seek God's face first. Because when you seek God's face, his light will shine upon you. And when his light shines upon you, that thing that is in his hand, you'll be able to see it. Amen? You'll be able to see it. You'll be able to understand that this is what God wants me to do at this particular point in time. That's when timing comes into place. Praise the Lord. And at the end of the day, you will be a blessing not only to yourself, but to the people around you, to your community, to your family, to your friends. You know? Say, train yourself to wait on the Lord. It can be one of the most difficult things you can do, but you have to train yourself to do it. It can be one of the most difficult things. You can come before God's presence and you are like so confused. You don't even know, but God, what am I doing here? The pastor said, you start with thanksgiving. Start worshiping God. You worship God for who He is. You worship God for His splendor. For you, it is not about you, it's about God. And I can assure you, when you make it about God, God will make it about you. Amen? The law of do unto others as you like others do unto you. That's what God does. If you make it about God, God will make it about you. Amen? As Pastor said, the devil came before God and told God about, and God was boasting about Job. Why? Because Job had made it about God. Amen. God boasted about Job because Job had made it about God. So when we come into God's presence, we should make it about God. Seek His face and not what is in His hand. Divine guidance. Waiting is one of the most challenging things to do. Many of us are human doings, not human beings. Many of us are human doings, not human beings. Most of us have a challenge waiting on the Lord. Most of us. Ask yourself, when was the last time you took time apart to wait upon the Lord for something that you are going through in your life? When was the last time you said, okay, honey, I think we should this Saturday, let's just put this time and pray for this God's light concerning this. You are at crossroads. The decision you make, you know that you don't want to make an error. There should be no mistake in this thing. Tell your wife, I said, okay, or your husband or your friend, tell a friend. Why not even tell the pastor? Call the pastor and say, Pastor, this is what is in my heart. I am at crossroads. You know, this is what I am trying to do. I don't know. I have this stress. I have this, you know, strife in my spirit. I need somebody to partner with so we can ask God for His light to shine. Praise the Lord. I'm just giving you some practical tips for to get God's guidance. Because Christianity is practical. Christianity is practical. Religion is not. Religion, you excite things and you go. With Christianity is practical. You have to do things. It's a relationship with God. It's you know, I always have this thing in my mind that we make angels, many a times we make angels don't have a job. Because we neglect God, we do not give them the opportunity to be the ministering spirits that they were made to be. Because we try to fight with our own strength. And angels are like, what is going on? Just let us be what we are supposed to be. And things will work out the way it's supposed to work. We should not put angels out of jobs. Amen. We should, because that's what divine light guidance is. Divine guidance is allowing God to be who He is, to work for us. And God works through His ministering spirits. When we begin to fight on our own, we are pushing God aside. Do you just imagine if angels, all the angels were walking? This world will not be the way it is today. Praise the Lord. We should labor to make angels always work. Hallelujah. They say, get rid of every pressure. God is never in pressures. God is in peace.
So when you are doing something and you are under pressure, sit back and say, oh, no. God is not in this thing. God is not. God is in peace. God is in peace. You know, the way I came to the United States, I never sat down and said, let me go and apply for a visa and come to the United States. I don't know, maybe I've told this story before, but what happened was, I had just buried my mother, and then 15 months, I buried my father. So within 15 months, I buried my mother and my father. I was under the stress of my life. Stress that you cannot imagine. And life was like very empty. Very empty. And the way God works his things, America is the most difficult place to get into if you want to go the right way. Let me tell you that. It is the most difficult place to get into if you want to go the right way. And so I looked and said, I cannot come. If I want to come as a student, I need money. And that money is not, it's money that you can go and sell the wealth that your father had accumulated, not only your father, his father and his great-grandfather. Frankly speaking, I sat back and I said, no, I'm not going through that stress. Frankly, I'm not going. One day I left the house and I met some colleagues. I said, what are you guys doing here? They were in one cyber cafe in an internet place. They said, oh, we are playing DV. DV is a diversity lottery. Some of us know about it. I said, oh, really? Because I know some friends who have come through it. I said, okay, let me just play it. I was alone. I just played and went. I forgot about it. Totally forgot. But after I buried my mother, I buried my father, I got a mail from Kentucky. I said, I have never applied for a school in America. I know Kentucky is in America. Why is this thing coming? And I opened it, lo and behold, they were telling me, I have been pre-selected for one diversity visa. I was like, this can only be God. And even in my heart, I still had that fear. That this thing cannot see well. Because there they say, look, this does not mean that you will be granted a visa. You have to go through a process. I say, okay, it means I'm telling nobody this thing. I don't want to go and tell people then tomorrow I'm still here. They say, what's going on? I say, hey, it did not work. Stress. I did not want to put myself through that stress. So I went. I kept it. But as God will have it, my documents went through and they sent me a letter. They say, okay, this is the day of your interview. This is what we need for you. I say, oh, this thing is going. It is going. I say, God, I will believe this thing until I get into America and I put my leg in America. Praise the Lord. And the light of God was shining and God was moving because God has seen and said, look, I need a change of environment. I need a change. I don't want you to get up in the morning and the first thing you look left, you only look at, it's just darkness. It's just, I was a pastor. And I will sometimes go and preach. And I ask myself, I'm preaching about hope. I'm preaching about perseverance. But in my heart, I was dying within. But God had planned everything. And it so happened that they came and the day I went to get my visa, I came back with one of my sisters, and I entered into the car, and I showed her the visa. She started crying. She says, this is something people sacrifice for. And just like that, I said, no, it's okay, don't cry. God has given it. God planned it. God has something good for me. God has something better for me. God is planning my life. God knew that this is what you need. And if I had not had this visa, I would not have known you. Amen? Praise the Lord. I would not have known the beautiful and nice faces that I see, the friends that I have come to make. And, you know, a wonderful church, a pastor, and, you know, I would not have. I don't know what would have happened to me, but I don't want to know. It's like the blind spot that God has said, this is the blind spot, I kick you out. So I don't even want to know it. Praise the Lord.
So, you might be watching from home. God has His light. And His light guarantees success. His light guarantees peace. God does not give us pressure. God does not give us strife, stress. That is not God. It is against the nature of God to give pressure. It is against, even in the case of Job, God did not go and kill Job's children. It was the devil. Because it is against God's nature to bring strife to His children. So whenever you have strife in your life, those are indicators. You know, there's what they call KPI, key performance indicators. Strife is a KPI. Stress is a KPI. When you start seeing them, your mind should go to the pie chart of stress and pressure and ask yourself, now, this bar chart, I'm not supposed to be part of this. This is not the bar chart that God wants for me. Because God's bar chart is peace. Sorry, I'm talking bar chart and pie chart. Many of us might not understand what that is. But it's just to help us understand, you know, what God can do for us. And how does the Bible play a role in this? Now the pastor said, deception is one of the great tools of the devil. Say, becoming established in what God said will help you recognize the voice of the devil. Amen? Investigate your motive for what you are considering. It may take long seasons of waiting before the Lord to get your motives pure. Amen? Investigate them. It's not everything that comes to your mind that is from God. Not everything. Like this, my friend, I told you. You know, he just entered into this thing, bam, and was like doing things on his own way. At some point in time, he had to come to the realization that there's something wrong. There's something, strife. There's stress. It's too much stress. That was the right thing. That key performance indicator, that indicator of stress just came up and he said, let me pull back. Amen. Investigate your motives. Investigate them. Not everything that comes your way, not every promotion that comes your way is your promotion. Amen. Not every promotion that, not every business venture that comes your way is from God. No, not every friend that comes your way is from God. You know, when you are looking for a house, it's not the beauty of the house. You might have in your heart the kind of house you want. But it's not every house that meets that condition that comes from God. Because you have to marry everything with the light of God. And because the light of God will x-ray your motives. Because if you come before God, God's light is like an x-ray. It shines through our motives. And when it shines through, the skeleton, the real thing will show. If it's an obstacle, you will see it. You will see it. You'll be able to say, this is not God. God is not in this fire. God is not in this breeze. Praise the Lord. So constantly feeding your spirit by meditating on God's word and fellowshipping with the Lord is critical to developing spiritually. See, as you diligently seek Him for guidance and direction, you will see and understand God's plan for your life. See, many Christians miss it by staying in the mental and physical realms, forgetting the spiritual realm is the ground in which all else grows. Amen. Say, peace, contentment, and satisfaction will flow in your spirit when you seek God's will and light through His word. As I said it, even Leviticus, the light of God shines through Leviticus. It is the word of God. God can speak with one word. You remember the pastor said light, or, right? O-R, or. You can come through one word in the Word of God, and it illuminates in your spirit and gives birth to a lot of things. Your understanding, you know, revelation. Just one word. Seek the Word of God. Read it. There are many ways you can read the Word. You know, even listen to it. There's the Bible app. If you put in your phone, there's a Bible app that you can just press play. And it tells you, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And as you are listening, your spirit is soaking, you know. It is there. It is soaking. And by the time you get to your job site and a colleague tells you something that is not, it doesn't work in your mind, that is there to push you to react some way, and you see the peace of God, the Word of God has brought peace in your heart, and you are able to tell this colleague a word that calms the storm. Amen? Because if that word is not there, when that colleague says one, you have said two. Before you know it, it's your manager standing between you and your colleague to try to calm things. And if you are not even careful, HR will be brought in. But when that word of God is there and it's touching you, it has spoken, it has calmed your spirit, it has made your fertile ground, your heart a fertile ground. And when that colleague comes and says something with an intention to aggravate you, on a Monday morning, which is the beginning of the week, you are able to say, the peace of God in my heart. This is what God's word says. In your spirit, you answer the right way. And at the end of the day, you say, but how did I do that? It's out of character. No, it's not out of character. That is the character that God wants us to have, which we can only attain when we read his word. See how to get things to settle down so you can hear from the Lord. See, get still from the inside. Meditate on God's word and pray in the spirit. Amen? Pray in the spirit. Sometimes you come across something and it's like, oh my God, what's going on here? I don't even know what to do. What do I say? You start speaking in tongues. Before you know it, the light of God shines and you have a solution. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just saw the time. And I've not even gotten to week 5. I now understand why the pastor always feels. I just started. And before you know it, it's gone. But it's a recap. The pastor wanted us to have a recap. Praise the Lord. I will encourage us. Go back and develop a routine. And in your routine, may seeking God's face be part of it. Go back, and I've been having it in my spirit for about 3 weeks now. Routine, routine, routine. Develop a routine. And in that routine, may God be first. Amen? May God be first. We have materials that can help us understand God's light, that can help us understand God's mind in our lives at every point in time. We have these materials. As I said, you have a podcast which all our messages are there. All of them. All of them. Listen to them. And when you listen to it, I can assure you, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. We should go back. I know the pastor the recap is not complete. Amen? The recap is not complete, but time is against us. I did not know time was flying like. Yeah. But we should go back and listen to the message. This message is going to build confidence. It's going to build peace. It's going to build. There will be some assurance. You know, confidence in your spiritual life is the best thing you can ever have. Why? Because you know that God is in control. So when you, whatever faces, whatever comes your way, as the pastor says, I'm hardly moved, you know. He hardly moved. Why? Because maybe he has learned how to have the confidence in God, how to put God first in everything he does, how to bring God into bring God at the beginning, not when it's rough. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up, please. Amen. Yeah. I pray that we go and you are in the house. I pray that we listen to this message. There are 8 of them. It started July 12th. If you go to podcast, just look at July 12th. 8 of them. And each one, when you listen to each one, it's pregnant with blessing. There is something there for each and every one of us. In this time when the world is seeking for salvation from the government, from the governors, salvation from scientists, we have God that we can go to. Amen. We are not supposed to walk with long faces like horses. We are supposed to walk and people envy. Say, but are you not in this world of COVID? Then we are able to tell them, oh yeah, but you know, COVID is not my world. God is my world. You know? And opportunities might even come up to begin to share the word of God. Telling them that this is not how, the way you see the world, your view of the world is not my view. This is how I view the world. Praise the Lord. And so I encourage us to go to, I have iPhone. I don't know Android. What's podcast in Android? Is this podcast too? Oh, you also have iPhone. Is it podcast? Okay. It's there. Just search Abundant Life International. It will come up. And listen to these messages. And let us be blessed. Let us take our place in the world. Praise the Lord. Father, we are very grateful for your presence in our life. We are very grateful that we have you as our God. We are very grateful that, oh Father, you are there to bless us with your presence and your word. This morning we have received, recapped on what you have been telling us for the past 8 weeks, Lord, that we need divine guidance and direction from you. Father, may we continue to meditate in this, your word. May we seek your face in whatever we do. Oh, Father, as this week begins, may we start it with you, Father. May we gather our families. May we gather our friends. May we bring our families before you. And may we start the week with your presence. Oh, Father. So at the end of the day, we are going to give glory to God because it is God who has done it. Thank you very much as we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.